The song that we just sang in our hearing is a sentiment of just how blessed our Lord is. As we sing the song of our Savior and the one who leads us and guides us in everywhere, in every way, we are so thankful to have such a great and merciful God. Most of us have heard the words spoken either by our own parents or by another. Don't worry. I will always be with you. I will never leave you. And these are very comforting words, aren't they? Comforting and soothing. And especially in times of peril or in times of troubles. Especially in our youth, as we look to our parents and we consider them everlasting in our minds. But as we grow older and more mature, we come to a place in life where we know that this is not so. We love our parents and we know that they love us. But no matter how much they care, no matter how hard they try, there will come a time when we're parted from our loved ones. The fact remains, as the Scripture says, it is appointed unto all men to die once. That's what the Scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it's appointed unto all men to die once. Just read through the book of Genesis. Beginning in chapter 5, Adam, 930 years, and he died. Seth, 930 years, and he died. Enosh, 905 years, and he died. Cain, 910 years, and he died. You think about this. All these men, in the end of their time, the Scripture simply says, and he died. Noah, 950 years, and he died. Consider this as a stark reality in our lives. There is not one human ever born on this earth that can say to us today, I will be with you forever. The Romans writer tells us very clearly, that's the way it has been going ever since the beginning of time. Therefore, just as one man through one man's sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus spread unto all men, because all have sinned. Now, we can't put our trust in any one person. And the point of all this is that with men and women, young and old alike, they'll all die. But we have access to an everlasting God, our Father, through faith, who cannot die. And He has promised us eternal life. Therefore, when we walk in faith and obedience unto His commands, He will always be with you. In our series of Closer to Thee, we think of our God. And in the past, we've studied that God is not a man. We've looked at God as a consuming fire and how He is merciful. And our God is our refuge and a mighty fortress. Today, we want to consider our God and how the fact that He is always with those who obey Him. Think of the you know, the lesson, the words in the text of our lesson this morning in Joshua. In verses 7 through 9, we read, "Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper in whatever you do, and wherever you go, rather. This book of the law shall not depart from your youth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe all to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, or do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God." The Lord your God. And this is the Lord that is always with you. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You think about this. It's not likely that we'll ever be called upon as an individual to lead a nation into a new land like Joshua, but all of us, as we travel through this life, through these very significant times, we'll meet new souls. And all of us will be afforded that opportunity as faithful children of God to help them find their way into a new land so that they can be with God, who is always going to be with them. And so we need to be very strong and courageous. I want you to think with me in Acts chapter 2 for a minute, or look there in Acts chapter 2. And we want to just get a quick synopsis of Peter and the rest of the apostles. We think of what came upon them prior to what took place here in Acts was the crucifixion of the Lord. And not all of us can be like Peter, but with the power of God, all of us can be courageous. All of us can be strong. Look at Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost has come, and the apostles are all gathered together in one place, and the Spirit of God has come upon them. And Peter, the apostle, stands up in verse 14 with the 11, and he raised his voice and he said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." You see, these people were claiming that the apostles, because of what the Holy Spirit had done to them, that they were saying that they were drunk in the middle of the day. And Peter goes on to quote Joel and says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then Peter goes on and preaches the very first sermon of Jesus. Men of Israel, in verse 22, hear these words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man testified by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know him. Being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and have crucified and put him to death. I think of this in terms of him being very strong and courageous, just simply because of what we know took place. After Jesus was crucified, after he was put into that tomb, the disciples all ran and hid. In John chapter 19 and John chapter 20 and verse 19, the scriptures tells us that the same day at evening began the first day of the week. And then the doors, the disciples, they were in a room and the doors were shut. They were assembled there for fear of the Jews. These men were hiding and cowering down. These Jews, had, by determinate hands, had taken the Lord Jesus and they crucified him. And the disciples were terrified. And then Jesus came. And he stood in the midst of them. And he said, "Peace be with you." You see, the Lord Jesus will always be with us. Our God is with you. As we walk in faith, as we do His will, He will always be with us. Take a moment here, and let's go back and look at Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. This is the account of Gideon as he's being chosen by God to be a mighty man. In Judges chapter 6, it tells us in the very first verse, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, we understand that because of the fact that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, they were cast out of their own land. They were pushed off and hiding in the mountains and hiding in caves and hiding from their enemies. And their enemies would come down and they would impoverish them, these Midianites. And they would destroy their crops and their herds and they would make it near impossible for them to survive. And in verse 7, as you read it, it says, "And it came to pass when the children cried to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppress you, and drove them out before you, gave you their land. I also said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice.'" You see, when we don't obey God, even though God is here, His ear is turned away, His hand is pulled away because of what we do, not because of God. Because God is always there. But when we walk in sin and not according to His commandments, His hand is withdrawn from us, just as it was here in Israel. In verse 11, though, "Now the angel of the Lord came and he sat under a terebinth tree, which was in Ophar, which belonged to Joash the Abrazite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." He was taking and trying to hide food so that they could sustain their own lives. And look at the angel of the Lord in verse 12 appeared to him, Gideon, and he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with me, then why has all this happened to us?" Well, we know that all these things happened because of their disobedience. And they were separated themselves from God, who is always there. Verse 16, "And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" We think of this and what happened here in Gideon's life. And Gideon went on, and as we understand it, Gideon came together, and God understood that there were just way too many men. He wanted to prove to Gideon that he was with him. And so they narrowed it down and narrowed it down till he got down to 300 men. who lapped up the waters like a dog. And he took those 300 men and terrified the Amorites. Terrified them with 300 men. And eventually they were victorious. And all the people came together because Gideon walked with God. In chapter 7, we read, in chapter 8 rather, we read in verse 36, "So Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hands, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is on dry ground, then I shall know that you will serve Israel by my hand, as you have said.'" And then he gave him a second test because that took place and it worked, and he wrung out the water in the fleece, and then it turned around. He wanted it the other way around. He wanted everything to be wet and the fleece to be dry, and that happened, and Gideon did believe. And he knew God was on his side. When we think of that, and chapter 7 and verse 12, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east were lying in the valley, numbered as locusts. And their camels were without number in the sand by the seashore in the multitude. But Gideon came. He came with those 300. And they terrified them with trumpets and pots and lanterns. And God was with them. And God made them victorious. I want you to look over in verse chapter 8 and verse 22 and 23. "Then the man of Israel said to Gideon, 'Rule over us, both you and your sons and your grandsons also, for you have delivered us from the hand of Midian.'" You see, the people looked to Gideon. And notice what he said in verse 23. "But Gideon said to them, 'I will not rule over you, nor my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you.'" So anytime we live in a place where we have difficult decisions and hard times come, we need to turn to the Lord who is with us according to His promise. Oftentimes we must pray to our God, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time and help in the time of need," the Scripture tells us. And you know what? When we come to God in prayer, He is listening. As we study the Scriptures and we come to know God better, who He is and what His will is for us in His life, He is there with you in His Word to guide you and to comfort you and to direct you. The psalmist said, "Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him." Psalm 21 and 2. Psalm 2 and 12. Put your trust in the Lord. That's what we must do. God will be with us wherever we may go. Turn to your Bibles to the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verses 7 through 12. In this particular text, we're reading about a people who understand God is with them. In verse 7, he says, "Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me from you. But the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." You see, when God formed us, He was there. And then all throughout our lives, no matter where we go, He is there. Always, you are there, the Scripture says. And then, you know, in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus is instructing the disciples as they're going to be heading out to do His work upon the earth. And He says, "Teach them to observe all things whichsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you." Same promise from our Lord and our Savior. Think with me now in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and Exodus 13, 21, and other scriptures. Our Lord will never fail us. In Genesis 12, 1, it's a promise to Abraham. Abraham's told to go out from your country, from your family, from your kindred, your father's house, to a land that I will show you, God said. In Exodus chapter 13, the Lord went before them as they left Israel. They were Egypt, rather. They were taken out of Egypt by all that we have studied here about the plagues and how Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And eventually, because God is victorious always, He not only let them go, but drove them out. And they were led by a pillar of cloud during the day and at night a pillar of fire. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 13, we're thinking of the song of Moses. And in his song, Moses write, in your mercy, you have led forth the people. God was there with them. He says, you have guided them in your strength. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 12, speaking of Joshua. So the Lord alone led him. The scripture says, and there was no foreign gods before him. Faithful Christians sometimes have the heartbreaking experience, certain chains of events that produce situations, and they deeply can be hurt. They can be deeply hurt and deeply separated from other people. When you think about a situation where a preacher, and he's been preaching for a number of years, strengthening and building up the assembly and speaking of their great God, and he loves the church, he loves the people, he loves the Lord, the work that he's doing, and with all of his heart. And an unprincipled element comes into the congregation and gains their attention, and the worst of people seems to surface. And abruptly, the preacher is told he has to leave. And with a very heavy heart and a sad countenance, he seeks out a new location. But he never truly recovers. But God is there. Another example, maybe we think about elders in a church. And the elders, you know, their remarkable dedication for many, many years. And they're loved by the congregation. And one day it becomes necessary for the elder to have the preacher leave. Because the elders have found that he's been teaching false doctrine. Unsound. The preacher has charm. The people in the congregation, he has a sizable member of the congregation there, that they love him. And so what do? They oust the elders. And sadly, that elder or those elders live out the rest of their lives very sad, rejected because of an ungrateful mannerism of the saints. And we know these things happen. But our God is always with us. Think also in the case of a mother and a father. They raise their daughter very in the church. They nurture her in the admonition and the love of the Lord. She goes off and she marries another man who's a member of the church and everything's going fine. And one day they get a phone call. The daughter's left her husband and going off to live with another man. The parents are devastated. They can't understand. How can this happen? In every one of these cases, there's somebody who's turning their eyes away from the right way to the wrong way. The Lord is still there. If you come back, He's always right where you left Him. But when you turn your back against the Lord, against the right way, no matter how loving you are, no matter how sincere you are, the Lord will be there, but He will not hear you, nor will He see you. We need to remember how important it is to keep our eyes and our focus and our attentions on the right ways of God. But in all this, we have Jesus. We understand that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 79, Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. We have Jesus. We have our God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Now listen, because God is with us, we need to be a people who are careful not to let scenarios like what we just described bring bitterness into our lives and despair. So we need to guard against bitterness. We need to guard against despair. Think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 8, what we're reading here is an apostle who's been abandoned. Paul says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me. He loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica. Christians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me," he says. "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in my ministry. And Tychius I have sent to Ephesus." He says, "Bring the cloak that I left at Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." Listen to what he says. "May it not be charged against them." Paul isn't holding bitterness in his heart. He's doing exactly what the Lord Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do. If your brother sins against you 7 times, you forgive him 7 times. If he sins against you 7 times 7, you forgive him 7 times 7. Paul says, "May it not be charged against them." And in verse 17, "But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." You see, Paul was forsaken by men, and that can happen in this world, but don't be bitter. Just turn to the Lord and realize that the Lord is with you, and He will never, ever forsake you. He will stand with you as you walk down that narrow and difficult path. He will always, always be with you. The words of the Bible are written, as Paul put it, so that we, the church, may know how to conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church. It's the pillar and the ground of truth. And we need to realize that God is a forgiving God. He's merciful. And He will be with us always in times of trouble. You know, knowing that the God of creation is always with us helps us to put off our former conduct, the way things used to be, Ephesians 4 and 22. It lets our conduct be worthy of the gospel, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27. And we can be examples to believers and in the world in our conduct, in our spirit, in our faith, in our purity, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." God is with us. He's with us now as we assemble, and He is with us as we leave this building and go out into the world. He's with us every morning when we wake up. He's with us while we sleep in the evening, and He's with us while we work, and He's with us when we are being obedient unto Him. The only time that you can separate yourself from God is by being disobedient. But God is there waiting, His arms outstretched, calling you, "Come, come back." God is always with us. Another example in Acts chapter 7 is the account of Stephen. It's a tragic and yet an amazing account of a man and his faith in God. In Acts chapter 7, we read about Stephen here in verse 54 through 60. These men, Stephen is calling these Jews stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears. They always resist the Holy Spirit. This verse 51. In verse 54, he says that when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they, the Jews, gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed up into heaven, and he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. God, our Lord, was with him. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one account. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. God was with him. And notice in verse 60, it's the same as the Apostle Paul. He was forsaken. No one stood with him. And yet, look at what Stephen said. And he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You see, he had control of his bitterness. He had control over his despair because he knew the Lord was with him. And God is with you. The words of the Bible are written so that we may know, so that we can have the truth in the Spirit, and that we will know that he will never leave us nor forsake us. But you know, the day of the Lord is going to come. And the day of the Lord is coming in which, among other things, the entirety of humanity will be present in front of our everlasting God, in front of our Lord and our Savior. That at that time, you will be there. I will be there. And every soul since the Garden of Eden will be there. I want you to turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. And we'll bring this lesson to a close with this. In Philippians, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. We read, therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth. He's describing every knee being every entity in heaven, every angel, every human that's alive on the earth, and everyone who's ever died who is under the earth. And he says in verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Christ, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, the day of the Lord is coming. We all, in that one day, will be gathered together before the Lord. And that gathering together will either be to say hello, or it will be to say goodbye. For some people who have not obeyed the Lord and have kept Him at bay by their own sin, they will be saying goodbye to the Lord forever. Because on that time, at that time and on that day, it will come to a place where the Lord Himself, He won't forsake them. Because they've spent their life forsaking Him, they will be lost forever in hell's fire. separated from God for eternity. It'll be a sad, sad day for anyone who has not obeyed the gospel of Christ, who has not accepted and believed the words of God, who has not repented of their sins and confessed Christ as the Son of the living God, who has not been baptized in the waters of baptism for the remission of their sins and lived a faithful life. That person will be saying goodbye to God who has been with them since the day of their birth and who has been showing them through the Scriptures a way out. They'll be saying goodbye for eternity. But it doesn't need to be that way. This day, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can make that right and establish that relationship with God who is here today. He's calling you. The waters of baptism are ready. And if you would obey His voice, then on that day, you'll be saying hello for eternity in heaven. The invitation is extended. If you're a Christian and you have said goodbye to God by your own sin, disobedience, you know that God is still with you. And all we have to do is to come back to Him in faith and obedience, confessing our sins, and He will forgive us. He is a righteous and merciful God. I hope that as we stand to sing this song number 307 today, you'll be thinking hard about your relationship with our Lord. Understand that He is always with you. And then if you're washed by His blood, you will be saying hello to Him on that great and awesome day. I invite you this now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.